Amen. And that is kind of a preview of next month, the time for Thanksgiving. So if we don't praise, the rocks will cry out. And so we need to praise the Lord. We had some exciting testimonies in the teen meeting, and we now have silent praises. It goes along with the silent prayer requests, unspoken. That's it, unspoken praises and unspoken prayer requests. So an unspoken praise is a result of an unspoken prayer request. Isn't that good? And the teens taught us that, and actually we saw that take place in staff meeting with our first unspoken praise in a staff meeting. So anyway, praise the Lord for that. And what a praise, Clark and Lois Bennett, 65 years. And what an amazing, amazing thing. They are a wonderful example of marriage and of what God planned for our marriages. And that is their song. In fact, I sung that one time for your anniversary, I believe. And a beautiful song about the will of God. And here's a couple that has done what God wants them to do all these years. Amen. And just what a wonderful testimony. Well, Isaiah 62 is where we are tonight. And we are on the theme, A Time for Missions. For such a time as this, a time for missions. And this month has been all about missions. And our missions conference, of course, starting off the month. And the flag's still up from that. And we talked about the mission of missions, the missionaries of missions. We've talked about the ministries of missions. We're doing that on Wednesday nights. And we will this coming Wednesday night to end the series. And then we talked about the money for missions and the message of missions. And then tonight I want to talk to you about the methodology of missions. The methodology of missions. We have three parts that must exist for missions, and we're going to talk about that tonight, Isaiah 62 and verse 10, an interesting little passage that I think gives us just a real clear idea of God's method, the methodology of missions. Go through the gates, verse 10, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Father, thank you so much for this great day. We do rejoice over the many, many blessings that we've received through the Shepherd's Program this morning and singing tonight and the meetings tonight and practices. And it's just wonderful to be able to serve you. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts now through thy word and you'll continue to challenge us with missions. I pray that everyone is giving exactly what you have asked us to give by faith so that we can have an exciting year of giving to missions. And help us to see tonight just how important, not only our worldwide missions, but our missions right here, how important it really is to have all three of these parts in our program. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So in this passage, we have obviously an Old Testament passage, and you say, well, missions, you know, that's go ye into all the world, and that's in the New Testament and everything. But it's a procedure that God uses so many times, and it is a procedure that I just like out of this passage, giving this just a procedure, the methodology of missions. Three things that must exist for missions to exist. And of course, we come here to the end of the Babylonian captivity, and they've been in captivity, the children of Israel, for 70 years. We talk about that often. In fact, much of the Old Testament refers back to that period of time, the Babylonian captivity, the children of Israel taken captive because of their sin. Again, another picture of the result of sin. It's never good, never works out, never is it said, oh boy, that was fun all the way through. You know, it may start out fun, but it doesn't end up fun. And 70 years captivity because of sin, and now they're about to leave to rebuild Jerusalem. And this little passage is here talking about what is supposed to take place. In other words, in order to get to our destination, these things are going to have to happen. And so they're going to leave to rebuild Jerusalem. And after 70 years, there's no path. There's no way to get there. There is no road. There's no way to do it. And they're going to travel by foot. And obviously, there's no interstates. Obviously, there's no like we would be used to. So you have to kind of go back in your mind to a path that needs to be made, a way needs to be made in order for them to arrive at their destination to do the will of God. And so there's no roads, there's no paths, there's nothing. And so something has to be done. And verse 10, it talks about that very thing. Go through the gates. The gates obviously will have to open. They're no longer captive. Prepare you the way of the people. Cast up the highway. And gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Those things will have to take place for them to reach their destination. And verse 10, it talks about, first of all, preparation. Make a way where there was none before. To look out, it's a wilderness. To look out, it's trees, and on the way, it's hills, and it's valleys, and it's uncharted territory. And it along the way, there's stones and there's obstacles in the way. And so again, to gaze out, somebody has to make a way. There has to be preparation. A way is made where there was none before. And that is our first point. Our second point is excavation. First point, preparation. Second point, excavation. In other words, we not only have to make a way, but we have to clear the way. And he says, cast up the highway, gather out the stones. We've got to clear the way. We want to make it easy. People are going to walk. They're going to have wagons. They're going to, it's going to be a very difficult way. So excavation is remove the obstacles. Get all the obstacles out of the way so that everybody can get to the final destination. And then the third thing is education. Somebody has to show the way. Because the people leading the way, they're making the path. And then along the way, somebody's going to have to lift up the standard. That's talking about a sign of some type. Maybe it would say, this is the way. But there's a sign. There's going to be a standard. It's going to be marked so that everybody knows as they depart Babylon. Different times, different years, as they depart Babylon, they are going to be able to have a total, perfect, easily taken way to their destination. And every time I read that, I think about what we're supposed to be doing. I think about this in light of missions. I think about this in light of our own ministry. And I see all three of these things being absolutely essential. Certainly for missions. And we'll talk about some of those things. But you'll notice verse 11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Amen. I mean, it is God's will that the end of the world know the way. And he's proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Don't you think salvation should come to everybody? I mean, we all believe it. We're happy we're saved, but we should not be content that, hey, we found a way. We should not rest in the fact that, hey, I'm going there. I know I'm saved. I know I know the way. We need to get excited about making sure everybody, clearly, there's a clear path so that they know the way, and they are shown the way. And so, again, verses 11 and 12, before those kinds of things take place, before there is a testimony, they shall call them thy holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Before somebody has to make sure that these things take place. And so I want to look at those three things. Number one is preparation. Preparation, make a way. He says, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Make a way. Before anyone could go, the way has to be made. Again, I understand some strong men, they might have been able to forge their way through the wilderness, through the woods and everything. But you know, obviously, if they're just thinking of themselves, that's one thing. But as they're thinking about the others following, hey, we're going to have to mark this. We're going to have to carve this out, cut down some trees. We're going to have to make a way. And because there's going to be all kinds of people that are going to go. There's going to be young people. There's going to be weak people. There's going to be elderly people. There will be crippled people. There will be women. There will be children. And so somebody has to plot the straightest path and plan everything and maybe cut out some trees and literally carve a path so there is a way for the people to go. A way must be made. Without the way, there'd be no message. There'd be nothing, and a way for anybody, a way for everybody. You know, again, some people strong guy. Well, you know, I think I can make it out there. But what about everybody who's following behind? And so I think about our Lord who made the way. You see, here's the thing: you and I, we could not make a way for salvation. We couldn't save ourselves. You and I cannot save ourselves because we're sinners. And it is impossible for us to even save ourselves, let alone saving anybody else. So there was one Savior who could lead the way and make the way, and He could be tempted in all points such as we are, and He could go through that wilderness, and He could be tempted yet without sin, and He could die on the cross, and He could make the way for you and I. Without Him, there is no way. Without Him, Jesus, dying on a cross, hey, there isn't any way. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You and I couldn't do it. You and I could not any way, shape, or form make a way for ourselves, let alone for the rest of the world. But Jesus did. Jesus did. Go back to Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And our Lord Jesus Christ is who he's talking about here. And he's talking about John the Baptist and the voice that proclaimed that Jesus Christ is the way. And he says, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And God said, I am making a way for man to get to heaven. Amen. And if God doesn't make a way for man to get to heaven, we don't go to heaven. It does not happen. And just as the children of Israel had to make a way, just as they had to plot it and plan it and all of that, God did the whole thing himself. Before the foundation of the earth was ever laid, God did it all, and he made a way. And John the Baptist was the voice proclaiming that Jesus Christ is a way. And everything starts right there. He made it possible for man to go to heaven. Hey, you know what? Religion can't get man to heaven. Good works can't get us to heaven. We know that. You know, you can do all the good things in the world and everything that everybody says is good, helping people cross the street and giving to this and giving to that and all those kind of things. And we could do that until we die, and it would not get us to heaven. It'd be just like the children of Israel going out and going the total opposite way. That's the way that we would go. But Jesus made a way. Habakkuk 1 verse 13 says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look upon iniquity. And therefore we would understand that no sin can ever enter into heaven's glory. God cannot look upon iniquity. And you know, we have this idea, yeah, but I'm not so bad. And we hear it all the time as we go soul winning. You know, well, I'm not that bad. I haven't done that much. But listen to me. No sin. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look upon iniquity. And that's us. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Why? Because God cannot look upon iniquity. But Jesus made a way. He made a way. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus paid that debt for you and I. You know, it's interesting as we you talk to people who don't know and they don't understand, or maybe they've learned totally the opposite, how they don't get it. Well, I'm gonna work my way. I'm gonna do good things, and are you gonna tell God that His way is not necessary? It's interesting when you talk to Roman Catholics, and they'll talk about, well, yeah, we know Jesus died on the cross, and He died on the cross to pay for our sins, but we've got to do. Wait a minute, you just said it. He died on the cross to pay for sin. Well, yeah, but we have to keep the sacrament. No, listen to me. Did you hear what you just said? Did He die on the cross to pay for your sins? Is that the way or is it not the way? And again, the whole idea is God made the way. How foolish we would ever be to think we can somehow improve that or how we could change that. God made the way. Just as the children of Israel, they plotted, they planned. I think there were people that were very intelligent and they worked to make sure there was a way for all the folks in Babylon, all the people as they came, week after week and month after month, so that everybody had an opportunity to go back to the destination that God had called them to. And in God's salvation, what a beautiful picture that God made a way so that we could go to heaven, because we could not get there our way. We couldn't get there. John the Baptist, the reason that he was the forerunner and the voice that proclaimed Jesus, we read, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he said that when he saw Jesus. Remember when he was in his mother's womb and Jesus was in his mother's womb, when he, as a baby in the womb, when he recognized the presence of Jesus, the Bible says he leaped for joy in his mother's womb. By the way, there's good proof that a baby in the womb can have joy because God said so. That means they could also have grief, doesn't it? But we'll not get into all that. I just, you know, it is so wonderful that God made a way for us. He didn't have to make a way. He could have just said, "Fooey on these. If they're going to sin against me, then that's fine." Isn't that kind of how we are sometimes? But he made a way. He worked it out. He made a way. And Jesus was the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Romans 5:6 says, "Christ died for the ungodly, and for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Preparation, the way is made. The Lord made a way. And again, that is crucial for me. Did you understand? Without that, take the flags down. Amen. Without that, shut the doors. Without that, sell the buses. Without that, close the classrooms. Do you understand? Without Jesus making a way, the rest of it's foolishness. If there is no way, eat, drink, and be merry. If it's not true, then we're wasting our time. But He did make a way. He did make a way. Could you imagine the children of Israel if they, as the gates are opening and they're leaving Babylon, they're leaving the cities there and their captivity, and as they walk and they look around and all they see is wilderness and trees, and I guess they'd just go back to Babylon, wouldn't they? Can you imagine as their eyes lit up as they saw the path? I'm telling you, when I saw the path, okay, I said, I'm not interested. But inside, I was interested. How many of you got saved the first time you heard the gospel? Not many. Not, in fact, I don't see too many hands at all. Of course, I can't see. But not many did. Most of us, it took a while. But you know, we may have with our mouths, we may have said, "Nah, I don't want to hear that." Or we may have said something else. But inside, it was like, there's a way. There really is a way. I really can know I'm going to heaven. Wow. Preparation, the way, make a way. Number two, we see excavation. Now, the first thing, God already did it. And that is our message, and that's what we have. We've talked about the seed, the Word of God, and that is there. The gospel of Jesus Christ is in this book right here. It is so clear in the Word of God. You can be saved. You can know you're going to heaven. You don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to wait and find out. You don't have to cross your fingers. Amen. You don't have to try to figure it out on your own. It is done if you do what he said to do, and that is to call upon the Lord. God did it. Preparation. Make a way. Number two, though, now we start getting into some of our thoughts and some of the things we can do. Number two is excavation, and that is clear the way. Clear the way. The Bible says here, gather out the stones. Clear the way. What is it? It's make the path easier for the people that are following. Do everything you can. Make it as easy as possible. It's our job to make it easier for, notice what it says, for the people. Last three words of verse 10, for the people. Make it easier. Clear the way. Get rid of all the stones. In other words, as we go along, we should eliminate the obstacles for other people. Oh, well, I've already been there. I'm already saved. Yes, but do you not care about those who follow? We should make it as easy as possible for anybody to get saved. Now, understand, it's not our job to alter the way. That's not our job. You know, with work salvation or with false religions or cults or any of those, it's not our job to alter the way. He said, get the stones out of the way. Make it as simple as we possibly can for people. Let's get rid of the obstacles. Jesus is the only way. Okay, there's all kinds of people proclaiming, well, you can do this and you need to do that, and it's not our job to change that. Jesus, that's why he made it so clear. You know, there's a verse nobody can twist. I am the way, Jesus said. But in this clearing the way, we are eliminating obstacles. And boy, there are a lot of obstacles. And yes, the truth is, you and I can still get there without ever lifting a finger for anybody else. I'm sure that many folks left Babylon, went to Jerusalem, and they didn't do anything. And there are many people that get to heaven and never do anything to help anybody else. But God's the one that said, told them, gather out the stones. There's folks following. Let's make it as easy as possible. Let's eliminate obstacles. Yes, you can get there without ever lifting a finger for anybody else. But we should desire to help others with the obstacles. Whatever is an obstacle that may keep them from getting to heaven. What are you talking about? I'm thinking about missions. I'm thinking about Berean Baptist Church. I'm thinking about helping people get to heaven. Well, what? Tracks. There's one example, tracks. Most people, this terrifies them. You know, this kind of scares somebody. Hey, if you want to get saved, here. Okay, most of us don't do that. And I'll be honest with you, when I was a teenager, I don't remember anybody ever handing me a Bible saying, here, if you want to get saved, read this. But isn't it wonderful to have those little gospel tracts? And I like those new ones, the little cardboard, just a little cardboard piece, and we have a lot of those, correct? I don't know if we have them out yet because we're trying to get rid of the great big ones that don't fit in men's pockets. But you know what? Just a simple little that has the gospel, the plan of salvation on it. You know, little gospel tracts, what a great idea. It's just one thing that it eliminates an obstacle of somebody saying, well, you don't have time to look. Oh, you don't have time? Well, look, we can go through this real quick. Here's some verses from the Bible that show you the way. Here's some verses from the Bible that'll tell you how to go to heaven. Here's some verses from the Word of God that'll show you clearly how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. You see, it's called, okay, I can move this stone out of the way. I can eliminate this problem. I can get this out of the way. How about running buses and vans? Somebody says, well, I don't have any way to get to church. Well, let me remove that obstacle for you. We'll pick you up. Amen. All these years. What a blessing. You know, that is, to me, there is no such thing as missions if we don't remove obstacles. That's what all of this is about. That's what the missionaries come and they present their works and say, hey, we are trying to remove an obstacle here. Those people can't come here. We'll go there. We're trying to eliminate an obstacle here so these people can hear the gospel. Isn't that what we do when we run our buses? And we run our vans? Folks, you're in the bus ministry and maybe you get the attitude, the idea that, this is kind of, we're just kind of doing this over and over. Listen to me. It is absolutely essential because it's removing an obstacle for some kids. You say, well, they don't appreciate it. Maybe they don't, but I'm telling you. I'm sure that, here's somebody that spent a whole day gathering stones out of the path. And they bend over, and I'll tell you what, you bend over that, just bending over for me is work, you know, let alone picking up stones and moving them out of the way. And maybe a guy has just cleared a whole mile. I don't know how long that might have taken, but it could have taken a couple of days, and he's cleared away all these stones, and maybe he's taking a break over in a ditch somewhere, and he's laying there, and a bunch of teenagers or young people, they come through, and not one of them says, oh, I'm so glad the road is smooth. But what are they doing? They're going there. They're going. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. And one of the things that's so important is, do you have to hear thanks in order to do it? Well, I've been picking up stones all day long. And did you hear that couple? They were griping and complaining that the road wasn't perfect. I just moved 100 stones out of the way, and I've been doing this thing, and my back hurts, and what's wrong with these people? You know what? It doesn't matter. But I've driven a bus and I've worked on a bus, and I, listen to me, it's removing an obstacle. When you run that bus, you drive it, you're a bus captain, you're a runner, whatever you do, you give to the bus ministry, do you understand? You're removing an obstacle for someone. You're taking, it's as if you cleared a whole mile of road of the stones that are in the way for somebody. Because nobody can say, well, I don't have any way to get there, sir. Oh, yes, you do. We'll pick you up and we'll bring you. You know, the Shepherd's Ministry, it's a special program for special people. What's it all about? Well, if you'd like to sum it up in a very simple way, it's removing obstacles. That's what it is. It's a program that removes obstacles. You know, so many churches, maybe they would have a soul-winning ministry, but they wouldn't have a shepherd's ministry, and they're out, and or maybe they're just members in a restaurant, and they meet a family, and a family has a shepherd child. And they say, well, do you have any programs for my child? And they look and say, well, no, we really... There's an obstacle, right? That's an obstacle not only for the child, but an obstacle for the parents too. And by having a shepherd's ministry that God put in the heart of Lois Bennett 40 years ago, by having that, how many times has that obstacle been removed so that somebody could trust Jesus as their Savior? Amen. And I know, you know, it's like, yeah, but I've been picking up all these stones all these years, and I'm really tired. My back hurts, and I'm telling you, and it just, but understand this, there they go. And one of these days in heaven, okay, you may not hear thank you now. You may not hear a lot of praise now. You may not, it may not seem as exciting now. But I promise you this, one of these days, you're going to be so glad you remove some obstacles. I think about the nursery workers. You talk about removing obstacles. Yeah, removing Poindexter from the service. Throckmorton. Yeah, amen. It's absolutely essential. So mom and dad can hear the gospel. I'm curious, did anybody ever, you got saved while your children were in the nursery. You got saved in a service and your children were in the nursery. Anybody like that? I can't see. All right, don't see anybody here right now, but it's happened. It's happened. What is it? It's removing obstacles. Now, if you have a child in the nursery, you know, you ought to thank the nursery worker. You ought to say, thank you so much for watching my child. Thank you for changing that diaper. Oh, twice? Oh, three times? Wow, busy. You ought to be thankful. But you know what, nursery worker, if people aren't thankful, if you know your back hurts because, well, you've been bending over changing diapers, and your nose hurts because you've been smelling the result of those diapers, and you're tired, and listen to me, you gathered the stones, you removed an obstacle so somebody could hear the gospel, so some Christian could hear the word of God. Praise the Lord. The deaf ministry, what's it all about? It's about removing an obstacle so somebody can get the gospel. Do you understand? That's our job. God's already made the way. God has made the way by sending his son to die on the cross. Now, it's up to us. Let's do what we can to remove obstacles. Like the fair ministry. It's removing an obstacle. Somebody says, I ain't going to go to church. Free Kool-Aid. It's, you know, sometimes people out there, they think that in here, everybody just has one eye right here. Because they don't know. They've never been to church. I don't know if you've ever been in that position. Many of you grew up in church. But there are people, they have no idea. They're terrified. They can go in a fair tent. Kathy Morin does not look scary at all. Till you get to know her. No, she's... You know, there she is. And here's, you know, well, people are just, it looks safe, you know. And it is safe. But it removes an obstacle and people get saved. Amen. Soul winning removes an obstacle. Because there's a lot of people that would never come in here, but we can go there. You know, it removes an obstacle. Vacation Bible school, it removes an obstacle. It makes children, they're excited, they want to come. They want to find out what's going to happen to the devil. You know? We know what happens to the devil. And by the way, God making a way knocked him upside the head. But you know, understand all of that. You say, oh, you know, I'm just getting weary in well-doing. And you know what? That does happen. But understand this. You are removing an obstacle. No matter what you do at Berean Baptist Church, you're removing an obstacle. So that somebody can get saved. That's an exciting thing. I think about junior church. And they're removing an obstacle. So children can... Okay, so a child may not be able to come in this service and follow the Sunday morning service. They might not be able to hear. But Byron Fisher can get in there and tell Bible stories. Brother Matt Binder can get in there and do whatever he does with chemistry and all kinds of unique illustrations that many times I hear about and wonder about. And he can reach the heart of that young person with the truth by removing an obstacle. Praise the Lord. Puppet ministry removes obstacles because, again, puppets are so harmless. But I've heard some of our puppet skits that are, whoa. I mean, they're preachy. Amen? And the clowns down here, they do some serious preaching with rubber noses.
Where they talk like this.
But it's the Bible. And it just removes it. It makes somebody feel at ease. It makes somebody feel comfortable listening where they might not be comfortable in this setting. Amen? You say, yeah, but you don't understand. My back really hurts. I've been lifting these stones, and it just doesn't seem like anybody's paying attention. Yeah, but there they go. There they go. They didn't turn around because of the stones, because you moved the stone. They didn't turn around and go back to Babylon because you moved the stone. You got rid of the obstacle. Prison ministry. You know, it'd really be tough if prisoners had to come and walk our aisle and get saved. Wouldn't that be difficult? Yeah. Isn't it wonderful that people go in? They don't have to go in. But what's it doing? It's removing an obstacle. Yeah, but some of those guys, oh, some of them are in because they're con men. Amen. Some of them are crooks. Right? That's why they're there. But you know what? Some of them, their heart is aching. They need to hear the truth. And they can't come here and hear the truth. And so that's an obstacle. But you remove it when you go preach to them there at Stryker and here in Adrian. And you go preach in the jails and the prisons. It removes obstacles. Some folks are addicted. And RU is a program that says, we can help you with your addiction. We do have the answer. We do have the truth. You see, it's all about removing obstacles. And so you look at these flags and they represent countries. And wow, you look at just Berean Baptist Church I missed some things. I guarantee, I know I did. And I apologize if that's your ministry. But I'm just throwing out there, and think about missions. Now it is even more complicated. But Jesus said, go ye. Jesus said, the gospel to be proclaimed unto the end of the world. I want everybody to hear the truth. I've made the way. Now remove the obstacles. Whew, man, how are we going to remove that obstacle? I mean, we're talking about thousands of miles away. We're talking about, there is no way we could go. Even us here, there's no way we could go down to Mexico and then come back every day. Be tough. And so we need to remove the obstacles for missions, because the gospel isn't there. We have it. How do we get it there? Well, that's an obstacle, isn't it? So it takes money to get it there, because it won't get there for free. It takes money. That's why we give faith promise. That's why we have the program to try to eliminate that problem, that obstacle, so that people in Ireland can hear the gospel, so people in Mexico can hear the gospel, so people in the Philippines can hear the gospel. And then you have the obstacle of language, which, boy, you talk about an obstacle. It is such an obstacle. But okay, what are we going to do? We need to remove that obstacle. And folks, work hard. Do you understand what Sarah Glover does? A place where there's no written language, and yet she wants them, and we want them to read and be able to read the Word of God that says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Amen. How can they do that? With no written, well, somebody has to remove that obstacle. Somebody has to go one stone at a time, remove that obstacle, and literally write a language so that the Word of God can be put into that language. You say, well, that's not a very glamorous. Oh, I understand, but stone moving isn't very glamorous, if you understand what I'm saying. Stone moving, there's just nothing fun about it. If you've ever moved stones, if you've ever, farmers, a lot of times they'll have stones in a field, and maybe they'll pay somebody so much to get rid of the stones, or they'll have equipment and everything. But I mean, there's nothing fun. There's nothing exciting about it. But it makes the path easier. It removes obstacles. And then there's school to learn a language, and then there's preachers training, and then sometimes they are sent back here to train in college, people that are from that land, the most effective people in countries is their own people. And you think about all of that, but it's just removing obstacles. Customs, all the different customs, learning those things. Eating unique things. I remember a missionary one time. In fact, when we were first saved, a missionary came to the church at Grace Baptist in Bluffton, Indiana, and they were in some kind of Amazon thing. They were talking about eating bugs out of trees and just praising the Lord and winning native people to Christ. And I remember sitting there thinking, wow. But what are they doing? They're removing an obstacle. Well, the tree bug eaters, they wouldn't come here. They can't come here. Somebody's got to go there. And somebody's got to go there. And when they say to them in their own language, delicacy, and they reach in to the tree and grab out a handful of bugs, you say, preacher, that's really nasty. But it does remove an obstacle, doesn't it? Yeah, and some unique customs in some of these other countries. And I'm not talking about sin, and I'm talking about eating bugs. That might be a sin, but it's removing an obstacle. And they don't trust Americans, and so they have to spend time. You say, well, you know, I could go to another country, and you might be able to go to some countries and do a great work. Then again, you might go to some countries, and they're just going to stare at you. I'm thinking of Australia. Our soul winning in Australia, it was worse than America. And they just kind of look at you like, who in the world do you think you are? They're going to watch you. And you may have to do that. You may have to do that. Canada is a lot like that. You may have to go. You may have to go spend some time. How can they spend time? Well, again, that's where it costs money. It costs money. And there's sickness in these other countries. And there's nasty kinds of sickness from their water and their food and different things. But it's removing an obstacle. We showed the Johnson's DVD last Wednesday. I don't know if you caught the little girl that Mrs. Johnson had been talking to about the Lord. And the girl was causing trouble the whole time. Just trouble, trouble, trouble. And after quite a bit of time, she counseled with the little girl. And the little girl had a witch doctor in the family, an uncle, I believe it was, who had put a curse on her. You say, I don't believe in that kind of... Well, you don't have to believe in it if you want to, but that's fine. But I'm just telling you, I know exactly what she's talking about. And she prayed, and that curse was lifted. And the little girl became a whole new girl. And she got saved. Now, somebody had to go do that, though, didn't they? Sure they did. What were they doing? They were removing an obstacle so that little girl could get saved. And now they say that little girl is serving the Lord. And Bibles, printing, books, translation, money, dealing with evil governments, dealing with communism, dealing with evil religions like Islam. And we should do our best to remove the obstacles. The fellow in Macedonia, the theme of our missions conference. Come and help us! There's a lot of obstacles. Paul said this about Ephesus. He said, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. And those are obstacles too. Satan hates it. You know, you say, preacher, it looks like, but we are more than conquerors. And we have to understand that we are in the obstacle-removing business. It should be our desire to make it as easy as possible for anyone to get saved. The hardest work was done on Calvary. Do you understand when Jesus was beaten and hung on a cross? The hardest work was done when he died for us. Now, we just need to understand that excavation, clearing the way, it's something we should do. It should be so important to Berean Baptist Church. Not only around the world and our effect around the world, but right here in our own turf. It should be our desire to make it as easy as possible for anyone and everyone to get saved. Number one, preparation, make a way. Number two, excavation, clear the way. And the last thing is number three, education, show the way. Lift up a standard for the people. Lift up a standard, a sign, showing them this is the way. This is the way. Tell it, teach it, proclaim it, make a clear presentation. This is the way. You ever give somebody directions, you know, and you don't have a clue? Yeah. And or you ever had anybody give you directions? My wife always says, honey, just go. There's a gas station. Well, there's certain gas stations you kind of look at and say, they don't have a clue either. But we men, you know, I'm one of these guys. I don't like to stop and ask at the gas station. So now we just use OnStar. But usually I wouldn't do. But you ever have somebody say, yeah, you just go around the bend. And what's a bend? Well, the curve, you know. Well, which curve? You know, and you go around that way and turn there, and there will be an outhouse out there. Turn right at that, and then go down to the little pink house over there, and then turn left again, go through the creek. Okay, Well, aren't you glad that somebody showed you the way and it wasn't that hard? I am so glad, as a long-haired hippie, somebody showed it and I could understand. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't speak church. And somebody made it so plain to me. I was reading the thing. I shouldn't read the paper. I really shouldn't. But I was reading the thing about easy believism. And again, you know, this idea. And you know, I don't know if everybody gets saved or not. But I promise you this. If somebody realizes, number one, they're a sinner. And number two, that the price for their sin, the wages for their sin is death in hell. And that's what they're going to get if they don't get saved. And number three, Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sin. And number four, if they call upon Jesus Christ to forgive them, come into their heart and save them, my Bible says that person is saved. Amen. I don't know what's really going on in their heart, and I don't know if they're just saying it to get me off their back. I don't know any of that kind of stuff. I just know that if you tell them the truth, they now heard the truth. They can be saved. Praise the Lord. And that's what we need to do. Show the way. That's what Berean Baptist Church is all about. Show the way. Give a clear presentation. Okay, right here. See the pet right there. Right there. That's the way right there. Jesus Christ, His blood. That's the way. Now walk it. That's how you get saved. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then we train others, and more and more people hold up the standard. It's always a blessing to me to find our tracks. Yes, even in restrooms. It's always a blessing to see Berean Baptist, see our tracks. Somebody was there. Somebody lifted up the standard. Somebody wanted people to know, hey, this is how you get to heaven. Somebody is letting folks know. What a blessing that is. Let's decide to be missionaries in our own country, in our own city, in our own neighborhood, and then let's affect worldwide missions. Number one, preparation. God already made the way. Number two, excavation. Let's do our part. Give to missions. Clear the way. Be involved at Berean. Be involved in church. Be involved gathering out the stones. Be involved getting rid of obstacles for people. Work nursery. Work on a bus. Work in master clubs. Eliminate obstacles. And then let's educate folks. Let's hold up the standard high. This is the way. By the way, it doesn't end with salvation. This is the way for life right here. That's how we should live right here. This book. This book. It is the way.